Activia offers a range of yogurts which are a delicious way to look after your gut health. From the fruit range with carefully selected ingredients to no added sugar and 0% fat offering, as well as a cereals range, there's an Activia for everyone. Made with a unique blend of 5 ferments, creating an irresistibly creamy texture, each pot of Activia is a source of calcium, making it the perfect addition to your daily routine. Activia helps support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins.
The annual Easy Living Furniture Roadshow Sale ends this Sunday. This is your last chance to save big, as absolutely everything is reduced across sofas, dining, bedroom and accessories. We've got everything you need to create the perfect living space with affordable prices and unbeatable quality. And with interest-free finance available, now really is the time to visit your local Easy Living Furniture store. Don't miss out. Find your local store online at easylivingfurniture.ie.
You're listening to Real Health with me, Carl Henry, in association with Activia. Activia offers a range of yogurts that help support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins. Hello and welcome to Real Health with me, Carl Henry. Folks, this episode is one of our most popular ever, and it's from our vault of episodes. On this episode, we look at how to make a habit stick. Here's a short excerpt from a conversation with best-selling author of Atomic Habits, James Clear.
We get excited about the changes that we want to achieve, and you set a big goal for yourself, or you feel motivated, you feel amped up, you want to try to improve. So it's very natural to, you know, try to set a big vision, to be ambitious, to, you know, think about what your life could be. But the challenge is that I think for pretty much any behavior, there are multiple outcomes across time. So broadly speaking, we could say there's like an immediate outcome and there's an ultimate outcome. And this helps explain some of the difficulty with like why you slide into bad habits so easily and why good habits are so hard to form. With your bad habits, the immediate outcome is often pretty favorable. Like the immediate outcome of eating a donut is great. It's sweet, it's sugary, it's tasty, it's enjoyable. It's only the ultimate outcome that's kind of unfavorable. Or even something like smoking a cigarette. Like the immediate outcome is maybe you get to socialize with friends, or you curb your nicotine craving, or you reduce stress. It's only the ultimate outcome 5 or 10 years later that's negative. With good habits though, it's often the reverse. Like, what is the immediate outcome of going to the gym for 3 weeks? Not a whole lot. Your body looks basically the same in the mirror. If anything, you're a little bit sore. You don't really have much to show for it. It's only 2 or 3 or 4 years later that if you stick with it, the ultimate outcome is good. And so that gap between the immediate outcome and the ultimate outcome is one of the challenges. People start out with this big vision January 1st or the beginning of the year, and then they work for 3 or 4 weeks and the ultimate outcome hasn't arrived yet. And so you've got this gap between the two. So I think if people want to approach their New Year's resolutions in a more productive way, or at least just in a different way, if they want to try a different approach, rather than being outcome focused, rather than being focused on the result that you want, I would encourage people to think about what is the identity of the type of person who can achieve that result. So what is the identity that you want? So as an example, weight loss is a very common New Year's resolution, probably the most common. But you could ask yourself the question, okay, rather than focusing on the result of the number on the scale, who is the type of person that could lose weight? And you realize, oh, well, maybe it's the type of person who doesn't miss workouts, or maybe it's the type of person who tracks their calories every day. And you can pick one of those habits and you just focus on fostering that identity. And you realize it's only a little shift, but I think it's meaningful. The subtle shift is now I'm focused on not missing workouts, not what I do, not how much happens in any workout, not how much weight I lift or what the weight is on the bar, just not missing. Or now I'm focused on tracking calories, not what I eat. I'm not going to berate myself for the diet that I am or am not following. I'm just going to focus on building the identity of someone who tracks their calories every day. And it helps shift you a little bit more to a focus on the process rather than a focus on the outcome. And because those rewards are so delayed, because the benefits of good habits are in the future, that long-term outcome, I think it often makes sense to focus on the identity rather than the result.
And within the book, there's 4 key steps or laws to build better habits. And I want to talk through those. Let's start with the first one, and it's make it obvious.
Yeah, so you want your habits to be, your good habits, to be obvious, available, visible, easy to see. For any habit to start, it needs some kind of what researchers call a cue or a trigger. There's something that prompts the behavior. There's something that gets your attention. So for example, you walk into the kitchen, you see a plate of cookies on the counter. That's a visual cue that starts the habit of picking it up and eating it. Or you're driving down the road and you hear an ambulance or a siren behind you. That's an auditory cue that starts the habit of pulling to the side of the road. And so something gets your attention. And so the more obvious that you can make your good habits, the more likely it is that you're going to fall into those, that they're going to get your attention and be the thing that you act on. So this can be as simple as, putting healthy foods on the shelves that are more visible or out on the counter in the kitchen, tucking the unhealthy stuff away, or ideally not having it in the house at all. But the more friction that you put between you and the bad behaviors, the less likely you are to slide into it. The less friction between you and the good ones, the more likely you are to perform them. But it can also be used in the inverse. So you want to make your good habits obvious, but you also want to make your bad habits invisible. So one example for me, a work habit, is that I try to leave my phone in another room until lunch each day. And it doesn't work all the time, but when it does work, when I do leave it somewhere else, it really helps me because if I have my phone next to me, I'm like anybody else. I'll pick it up every 3 minutes just because it's there, right? But I have a home office, so if I leave my phone in another room, it's only 30 seconds away, but I never go get it. And what always surprises me about that is like, well, did I want it or not? You know, like in one sense, I wanted it bad enough to check it every 3 minutes when it was next to me. But in another sense, I never wanted it so bad that I would walk 30 seconds to go get it when it was out of the room. And you'd be surprised how many of your bad habits are like that. You know, now a true addiction, no, it's not going to work like that. But for many of our bad habits, just making them less visible will be enough to curtail them. Like beer is another example. If I get a 6-pack of beer and I put it in the fridge, if it's right there in the front of the fridge where I can see it as soon as I open up the door, I'll grab one every night and have it at dinner just because it's there. But if I tuck it back on the lowest shelf all the way in the back where I can't really see it, I got to like bend down to spot it. Sometimes I'll forget that it's there for weeks before I pick it up and drink one again. And I'm like, well, did I want beer or not? Same sort of thing. And so there are many examples of this, and any individual environment change like that is not going to radically transform your habits. But collectively, you can start to see the benefit of making a dozen or two dozen or 50 little choices like that. And it becomes much easier to stick to the good habit when it's the path of least resistance, when it's the obvious thing to do.
And some of those small changes for people listening in, they will sound really obvious, but actually really beneficial. And the more you talk through it, I'm kind of listening to what I recommend the clients for weight loss or for toning up. And it is those really simple little changes that add up. So, you know, surround yourself with as many obvious small changes as you can. Your second law is make it attractive.
So you want your habits to be, your good habits again, to be attractive, motivating, appealing. The more appealing it is, the more excited you are to feel about doing it, the more motivated you'll feel to take action. So this stage is really about what I refer to in the book as the craving or the prediction that your brain makes. So, you know, a lot of the time when we feel like life is reactive, things happen to us and then we respond. Somebody says something, I feel a certain way. Somebody does something, I act in a response. But in reality, the way that your brain actually works is much less reactive and actually much more predictive. And so your brain is endlessly making predictions about what to do next. So just as an example, let's say you go to Amazon or you're shopping somewhere online and you see a product, you know, you see a book, see Atomic Habits or something like that, and you think about buying it. Now, if you choose to buy it, you're not actually buying the book. You can't because you don't have it yet. You don't own it. You don't know what's in the book. What you're buying is your expectation or your prediction of how valuable the book will be. And so it's actually the image that the sales page creates in your mind that gets you to click the button and so on. Same thing is true for any other habit. Again, if you see a piece of cake on the counter, you're not actually motivated to eat the cake. You're motivated by the image that the cake creates in your mind, the expectation that it'll be tasty and sugary and flavorful and so on. And so the more that you can associate a positive expectation, a positive prediction with your habits, the more likely you are to perform them. So there are a couple simple practical tips that come out of this. The first is there are many forms of a habit. And so you should choose the one that you have the most favorable expectation with. Like let's take exercise. You could, not everybody has to train like a bodybuilder. Like I like strength training, but you don't have to do that. You could go kayaking or rock climbing or go for a run or do, you know, any number of things. And so you should pick the form of exercise that you have the most favorable expectation around, because that'll be the one that's motivating or attractive to you. The second thing is you can use a couple different strategies, and I talk about a variety of them in the book. I'll give you one here to increase the attractiveness of a behavior. So let's use another exercise example. Let's say, you listen to this podcast and you think, all right, I heard this guy talk about habits. So tomorrow's going to be the day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to go for a run 6 a.m. So you set your alarm for 6 and the morning rolls around and it's cold outside. Your bed is warm. You're like, well, I'll just press snooze instead. Maybe tomorrow. But if instead you send a text to a friend and you say, hey, can we meet at the park at 6:15? Well, now 6 a.m. rolls around and your bed is still warm and it's still cold outside. But if you don't get up and go for a run, you're a jerk because you leave your friend at the park all alone. And so suddenly what you've done is you have made it more attractive to get up and go for a run and less attractive to press snooze and sleep in. The behavior isn't any easier. The run's going to be just as difficult as it was before, but it's more attractive to you because it now bears an immediate cost if you sleep in. And so that there are a couple of different strategies you can use for things like that that also increase the attractiveness of a habit. So I think if you can do a good job of picking habits that you have a positive expectation around, or you predict it will be favorable, and you can use a couple strategies to increase the attractiveness of the behavior, you'll often find yourself more motivated to do it.
Folks, that is it for another episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry. You know where you are, at Carl Henry PT on Instagram, Real Health on the Irish Independent website. And if you'd like what you've heard, don't forget to subscribe and rate and review. Slán go fóill.